Amen. Turn around and say hello and then be seated. And I'm glad that you've come out tonight. Just a little while, we'll get into the Word and then we'll have some time afterwards to take care of offering. Thank you for your special giving. It has been tremendous. Keep on giving to the regular general fund of the church, your tithes and your offerings, that belongs to God. And of course, the great missionary giving that you've been doing and the special projects for the upcoming soul winning booth at the fair in August. We'll have training for that coming up in July and August. And don't forget, we have also the 4th of July. It's a Thursday. We're combining the family patriotic picnic with all the special features. And then we'll add to that the youth and kids extravaganza. It's going to be great in the month of July. Month of June, we've got graduation promotion coming up. You've got some information. You that are involved with the Bible Institute, don't let that slip now. Don't backslide on that. Everybody get your work done and plan for that special day. The last Sunday, which is the 30th of June, we're going to have a promotion and awards given out, the morning service and graduation at night. Praise God for that. 2 weeks before that, the middle Sunday, there's five Sundays in June, we're going to have Father's Day and get excited about the great things that God is doing. This past Sunday, we had Godly Family Legacy Sunday. And this coming Sunday, we've got Mother's Day. All the ladies are going to go away with two gifts. And you don't want to miss that. Let's bring all the folks out that we possibly can. Let's honor the moms. Give me your tributes by tonight in order to be included on Sunday. So we're looking forward to that. Then coming up, 2 weeks of military honors. We're thinking about those that are active in service, those who are veterans, and those who have passed on. We're going to have two Sundays to honor them. We'll have all the memorabilia out here on display. This is an exciting time. Have you gotten, the hint that I'm trying to send out there to you, that this is the busiest and the most active and the most exciting time of the year? No wonder it's warmed up. You notice how the insects and the bugs get more active, the warmer it gets. Well, that's us too. We get active and excited, and we love to tell the story. Don't forget this Saturday to come out and be part of it. Now, tomorrow we're at Fellowship House. Those that want to join us at 10:30, looking forward to that. And then Saturday, 9 o'clock cleaning and 10 o'clock going out and visiting those who come. You have also been given some packets. I trust that you will share those with people as we invite folks to come out. We've had good results with it and looking forward to what God is going to do this weekend as well. How many of you are glad to be alive? Take a deep breath and thank God every moment that we're alive. We've got the energy that we've got. We've got the opportunities that we've got. This is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. We're in a doctrinal study, the book of Romans. What a tremendous study it has been. We're in a mini study in the middle of that, chapters 9, 10, and 11. And it is about God's chosen people. This is part 6 tonight. And we're in Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. And what a story. What a story that the Lord has. He wants to call out a people for Himself. And we know that the Israelites as a nation rejected their Messiah, Jesus Christ. But God is not finished with them. There's more left to go. And praise God for that. Wonderful that He is not through with them yet. Verse number 11 of Romans chapter 11 answers the question in verse 1. Verse 1 says, I say then, hath God cast away His people? God forbid, for I also am an Israelite, the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. And because Saul of Tarsus could get saved and become Paul the apostle, that is proof that God's not through with Israelites. He's not cast away His people. And the word cast here and the words for fallen away, he's answering the question, are they gone forever? Are they gone where they can't get back? And the answer is God has not cast them away permanently. He's not put them aside permanently. They've not fallen away permanently. They're going to come back. They're going to make a comeback. And you've seen great athletic teams that have made a comeback. It used to be, I think it was the Philadelphia Phillies that had the record for coming back the furthest, being so far behind on the 4th of July, and they still made it in and made it into the World Series 1 year. They had one of the great comebacks in history. I remember. I think it was, USC or UCLA that had a great comeback against Notre Dame and scored 5 touchdowns in the second half, unanswered touchdowns, and won that game. There are many who have come back, for example, in a best-of-7 series, down 3-0 and come back to win it all. You say, how can that be? Well, I tell you what, it's like Casey Stengel, or was it Yogi Berra, one of the two that were famous for their malapropisms, their saying things that were strange. It ain't over till it's over. I mean, as long as there's still time on the clock, wasn't it Sonny Jurgensen, the quarterback of the Washington football team, who said, I never lost a game, I just ran out of time? I think he was the one who said that. And you know what? It's not over till it's over. There is still a great future for God's chosen people, Israel. And we have the proof of that here. So we look at verse 11. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? In other words, have they stumbled so they're permanently out of the game? Look at the answer. God forbid. How many of you, when God says it, you believe it? So God is saying through the inspired writing of the Apostle Paul that God is not through with the nation of Israel. What you're seeing on college campuses is contrived by a bunch of Marxists, by a bunch of America and Israel haters. And it is the run-up to what is going to happen in the end times of the end times. But until then, God isn't through with them. And you know, I believe I saw one of those fundraisers at the front of an old black and white film, and it was Joe Louis. How many of you know who Joe Louis was? Joe Louis was the heavyweight boxing champion of the world. He was known as the Brown Bomber. And he was a great boxer, and he enlisted, and they used him for promotional purposes. And they got him, and he wasn't a great talker, but boy, he could talk with his fists. And at the front of this old black and white film that was a promotional film made during World War II, he was talking about buying bonds and supporting America's effort against the Axis nations of Germany, Italy, and Japan. And he said, I know we're going to win because God's on our side. That's what Joe Louis said. Amen. And I know that Israel's going to win because God's on their side. Amen. Don't ever forget that. It's not over till it's over. Amen. So they have not fallen permanently. They have not been cast aside permanently. There is a reason, though. The way has been made clear for some branches to get grafted in, for the Gentiles to be included in God's great great plan, His great program for redemption. And we've become a key component in that. And we, in turn, get to become the blessing that brings Israel back. And so we'll be part of that, and Israel will be brought back, and praise God for that. God forbid, but rather through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. I have had the joy and the privilege of witnessing to Jews. We've had the privilege of going into the homes of Jews and winning them to Messiah. And you know what? There are many of a Jewish background who are perplexed. They wonder about this business, why we are so evangelistic. To some Jews, it is a cultural thing to be Israel or to be Jewish. To them, it is part of their bloodlines, part of their background, part of the culture that they are part of, they participate in. But they don't really have a heart acceptance or knowledge of God, the God of the Bible. And so they are really curious. And many times they want to know what makes us tick. And so when we tell them that we have in common a Jewish carpenter by the name of Jesus, and they listen, and then we take them to the scriptures and we show them and lead them to Christ. We had the joy of leading a Jewish woman to Christ a number of years ago, right here in our Northern Virginia area, and it was a joy. The only stumbling stone, she wanted me to lead her in prayer in Hebrew, and I don't have that much fluency, and she didn't have any. She didn't know any Hebrew, but she wanted me to lead her in prayer in Hebrew because she thought that that would be somehow an enhancement to the salvation prayer. And so I gave her a few phrases, but other than that, it was all in English. All right, so what has happened with the rejection of Messiah by corporate Israel? We now have the open door for Gentiles to become God's vehicle through which He is reaching this generation of people. And He's provoking them to jealousy. They're curious. They're looking into this. Now, if the fall of them be the riches of the world, spiritually, and the diminishing of them riches of the Gentiles, spiritually, there it is, how much more their fullness? For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. Now, he's writing to the church at Rome, which was, of course, a combination of some completed Jews and some converted Gentiles. But he is saying this, that his particular calling, his particular ministry was to the Gentiles. Now, the apostle to the Jews was Peter, Simon Peter. But Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles. Do you know that God has a specific calling to you? Now, we need to be ready always to give an answer to everyone of the hope that lies within us. Amen. We need to be willing, no matter where we're placed, and we need to be spur-of-the-moment, spontaneous people when it comes to being a witness. But in terms of your long-term service for God, God has a niche for you and for me. God has put us in a place where we have opportunities that others might not have. For example, I might be more adept at winning somebody who's more like me than you. And therefore, that's an open door. Somebody who comes from a similar background, or somebody who has a similar vocation, or somebody who has a similar age group. You may be more adept. Wherever you find yourself, use who you are and what you are as a bridge to reach out to people and let them know that if God can save me, God can save you. If God can reach down and show me His grace and His mercy, why, He can do it for you too, don't you think? Amen and amen. So you got a ministry. You need to discover what that is and what gifts are necessary for you to be effective in your calling. The gifts and calling of God are without repentance. So He'll give you that so that you can use it. He intends for you not to retire, give up, but to continue on and keep on keeping on for Him. That's what the Apostle Paul did. Now, Paul's evangelization didn't stop until finally they took his head. And even after that, he being dead yet speaketh. He got a testimony. So God has put us in a certain niche, in a certain place of opportunity with certain open doors. We need to discover those. We need to exercise our gifts. We need to serve the Lord with gladness. We need to be ready always. That's why we don't walk around under this cloud. You know, sometimes in a cartoon or a caricature, you know, somebody that's always going through dismal, you know, gloom and misery and so forth, there's like a cloud over their head and the rain's coming down on them individually. Listen, we don't want to be that way. We want to go around and have the sunshine shine on everybody that's around us. Amen. Opportunities to magnify our office of service for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He says, if by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, and I might save some of them. Now, how did Paul exercise this? You remember when he went back to Jerusalem. He was on his way back and he was warned by people in churches along the way not to go back because they had the inside impression or the foresight to know that he would get arrested. He would do some jail time. But each one of those imprisonments turned out to be an opportunity for him to be a further witness. And he was able to stand before kings and governors and people of importance. And he used his Jewishness, even though he is a Roman citizen, he uses his Jewishness to speak to and about Jesus Christ to those who would understand. When he was talking to Agrippa, you know how that was. Agrippa had knowledge of Jewish things, didn't he? And so he said, I know that you understand, King Agrippa, he says to him at the end of the book of Acts. And so he is using the knowledge that they have of Jesus Christ and of Jewish things. And there was curiosity on the part of these in authority. They realized immediately, and folks can pick this up, they realized immediately the education and the background of this former member, representative of the Sanhedrin, his Jewishness, his culture, and yet his education and his grooming. They saw immediately there was something unusual about him. People should see in you and me whatever it is that we've got going for Jesus Christ. Let me say that again. People should see in you and me whatever it is that we've got going on for Jesus Christ. So let me ask you a question. What do you got going on for Jesus Christ? What advantage can you use for Jesus Christ? Who are you? Who are you? If we had you stand up, this is not public speaking class, but if it were public speaking class, and I said, I want you to stand up, give me your name, something about yourself, who you are, so that I can know you better. And if you stood up and you said, my name is such and so, and I fine, now I know your name. And you gave your age, now I know your age. You gave your address, now I know your address. And you gave your job, vocation, now I know what you do. Now that we've got those preliminaries out of the way, tell me who you are. What are you about? What makes you tick? Who are you? What have you got going on that can be a bridge to somebody else? I've become all things to all men that I might by all means save some, Paul said. He said that to the Corinthian Christians. Why? Well, that was a cosmopolitan crossroads of the Roman Empire. My goodness. Everybody came through Corinth. But he wanted people to know that even though they might have come from a different background, they might have a different lineage, they have something in common. And there's some starting point. There's some beginning point. There's something in common. That's why you should know a little bit about every subject and be able to carry on a conversation and out of the blue talk about the Lord Jesus Christ and share him. All right, so here we have Paul integrating into his explanation that the Israelites have not been cast aside forever, that there is zero future, no, that rather there is a future for them. So he says in verse 15, for if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? Here we go. Now he's likening their coming back, their comeback, like coming alive, like a resurrection. Wow, that's it. That's it. If ever you've had the privilege of being part of a team that fought back and won, or part of an effort, maybe a political effort, or maybe a social effort, or a business venture that fought its way back, scraped and scratched its way back and came back. People are amazed after the fact and say, look at that. Look what they came. It's like they came back from the grave. And that gives an opportunity again to do what? To witness. Who came back from the grave? Jesus Christ. Who died and rose from the dead to die no more? Jesus Christ. Who is the way, the truth, and the life? Who is the resurrection and the life? Who is that one? Jesus Christ. There it is. There's always an illustration, and that's what we have here. So we have Israel. At some point, will come back, and they will typify the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They'll come back from spiritual deadness to spiritual vitality. And in the millennial reign of Jesus Christ, those Jews, those Israelites who have become completed Jews in Christ, in Messiah, they will be a very vivid, living, breathing example of the mercy and grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For if the first fruit be holy, verse 16, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. Now here we go. This is not speaking of just individual salvation. And the people who make the mistake of taking the three chapters, 9, 10, 11 of Romans, and trying to make it just about personal election and hyper-Calvinism, they have missed the mark. This is about a nation coming alive. Now, we saw a movement. We saw the rustling of the leaves back in the 1940s when out of nowhere, those people who had been scattered for almost 2,000 years suddenly had their own sovereign nation. And I've told you a little bit about the history. Against all of the advice that he was being strenuously given, President Harry Truman, the accidental president, when FDR died suddenly of a brain hemorrhage, all right, the man who had to take the reins and drop the atom bomb on Hiroshima and Nagasaki and end the war, all of a sudden now, after the war is over, and everybody's saying, don't recognize those Jews. There was anti-Semitism in this country in the highest levels. People who hated the Jews. Don't recognize them. Don't recognize them, Mr. President. And just a few minutes after midnight, when their sovereign nationality was declared, the first nation in the world to recognize them was the United States of America. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And we had the privilege of doing that. We are also the first nation now to recognize that Jerusalem is the lead city, the capital city, the head city of Israel, modern-day Israel. Praise God for that. So there are some things that have happened that are very positive in our history. And so we have the fruit that's holy. The lump is holy. The root is holy. The branches are holy. What does that mean? Whenever God speaks about something in His Word as being holy, the primary thought is sanctified, separated, set apart for His service, for His purposes. That's what Israel is. That's what you and I are. Be ye holy, for I am holy. We are to be as believers. The church is to be holy. God's people, individually and corporately, are to be holy, set aside, separate for God's purpose. And Israel, once again, is going to become part of that. It's going to become operative. In the meantime, we Gentiles got to become part of something that they had not fully appreciated. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches, but if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. We owe Israel big time. Our Bible came to us because there were Old Testament Hebrews who were moved by the Holy Ghost and wrote down the very words and protected those very words. The Old Testament scribes, the copyists, were so dedicated to the purity of the transmission of the Word of God, that if they were making a copy, a scroll, and they made a mistake, they would burn the roll, go home, take a bath before they come back and start over again. Now that's a high view of Scripture. I have to say to you, shame on us as professed Bible believers in this New Testament era, we don't take as high a view of Scripture as they did. But those Hebrews gave us the Bible. And they gave us the godly line. Came through themselves, of course. And we followed through the patriarchs and through the sons of Jacob on down to the time of Jesus Christ. And, of course, they gave us our Savior, Jesus Christ. The apostles who were followers, the prototype of the church, the followers of Jesus. They came through the Jewish line. They came through that Hebrew line. And thank God for them. We owe Israel big time. Now, we have almost 2,000 years of this New Testament Christianity. And we've been professing it. And because we've been professing it, there are those now who are being positioned to come back into God's program. We're talking about Israel spiritually looking to Messiah and being saved. We've got a responsibility. We've got a responsibility. Now, this is not easy. This is not easy. A number of years ago, on a Sunday evening, a group of folks came in and sat back there about where Brother Neil is, filled up that row. And they had a little different appearance to them. And when I went back to talk to them after the service, because they had listened intently and amen and so forth, discovered they were born again believers of Jewish extraction. They were completed Jews. And he was an evangelist and he had a Bible and he had KJV 1611 on the outside. And he said he was an evangelist and he was evangelizing on the streets of Jerusalem. And he told me some stories. He told me that years ago, Benjamin Netanyahu's brother had been an activist among the Jewish, young Jewish fighters. And he had been targeted by a Hamas-type group and had been killed. And I believe it was a bombing, I'm not sure, but an ambush. He was killed. Benjamin Netanyahu never forgot that. But during that time, Bible believers like you and me had ministered to Benjamin Netanyahu. Now, he had not openly, publicly made any kind of profession. But here is the fact. Every time Benjamin Netanyahu flies into New York, he will stop and see these born-again, Bible-believing Baptists. And he allows them to pray over him every time he comes into New York City. I know things that some folks don't know. And here's what I'm telling you. God's hand is on this situation right now. Don't go into a state of frenzy or peril. God is still on the throne. He is still on the throne. All that junk that's going on, that's contrived, it's outside these four walls. I want you to know right now that's of the world, the flesh, and the devil. And they're going to lose. And the devil's going to burn forever. And everybody who opposes God's program is going to burn forever. They need Jesus. The greatest need right now is for those folks, if they would just listen, to come to God through Christ. But in the meantime, God's hand is on this situation. Don't you worry about it. It doesn't do us any good to worry anyhow, does it? Anybody ever have anything good come out of your worry? How about your complaining? How about your griping? How about that long list of sins that Gwendolyn passed out? All right? Any good come out of that? Never, never, never. That sin will never produce any good. You can't get good out of that bad. And so we don't want to be worriers. We don't want to be complainers. We don't want to be whiners. We want to remember God is on the throne. We want to be rejoicing. We want to be praising. We want to be excited and testifying. And people say, well, you're crazy. Well, we're not crazy. We're just doing what the Bible says to do. So there it is. Those branches that have been replaced with Gentile branches, they're going to be grafted back in again. They're coming back in again. It's going to happen again. It's going to happen again. It's going to happen again. Jesus is going to come back and take all the saved home with him. Those who are not yet saved from among the Israelites are going to look to him whom they have pierced. They're going to believe on him as almost like a single body in one day. They're going to believe on him. There are going to be 144,000 virgin males who are going to be the special helpers, the evangelists during the great tribulation, the time of Jacob's trouble. And praise God for them. And then there's going to be the battle of Armageddon, and we're going to come out victorious, and we're going to go under the judgment sword, the judgment of the nations. This nation will only exist if we've watched out for the Jew. That's it. That's it. The hope of this age, the hope of this age is the Jew. The entire future hinges off the Jew. We see what God has done with Israel. We know that they rejected. They said, His blood be upon us and our children. I understand that. That doesn't mean that we should start being inhumane toward them. It does not mean that we should be anti-Semites. It does not mean that we should suddenly do as Hitler and all the rest of those wicked ones through the ages have done to the Jews and make them wear the Star of David so that they would stick out and we would persecute them. That's not it. Instead, we should have compassion. We should have gratefulness, gratitude that God used Israel to bring us to where we are today. God did that through Israel. He did that so that we might have that opportunity. And He's doing that through Gentiles now. And He's going to continue through Israel in the future. And our attitude toward the Jewish people is that God allowed that to happen so that we might be saved, but He's not through with them yet. And praise God for that truth. Boast not against the branches. But if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. We're being held up. There it is. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief, they were broken off. And thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. What are we supposed to do? Gentiles, we're supposed to have the fear of the Lord. We're supposed to acknowledge that we are right in the middle of God's perfect sovereign plan for Israel and for His people. God has placed us there for a reason. Amen. I think of Dr. Jim Vineyard, now gone to glory. He realized God had raised him up for such a time as he was part of. And he made numerous trips. I don't know how many dozen trips he made over to Israel. And he became best friends with all those commanders, those fighters out on the perimeter. And he took Hebrew Bibles in metal containers. And every one of those outposts has Hebrew Bibles. And the way to Messiah is being pointed to those people. He believed that God had a great future, great plan, and he was right in the middle of it. And I believe the same way, we're right in the middle of it. My mother believed that. All of her life, she prayed for and supported financially with her meager amount, the little bit that she got from Social Security at the end of her life. She would write checks each month to these Jewish Christian organizations and pray for the peace of Jerusalem, and she would pray that they would be saved. And she got so thrilled when I would tell her about Brother Overby and the other Jewish Christian efforts that we were putting forth. Praise God for that. We are right in the middle of God's sovereign plan. Amen. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee. I don't believe that's going to happen. My Bible says that there's going to be this remnant, and we're going to be part of God's plan, and we are not going to allow any of this propaganda to even affect our thinking. Living in Northern Virginia has its advantages and disadvantages. Let me tell you what the disadvantages are. We tend to get infected. I'm not talking about some kind of physical disease. We get infected by the spillage that comes out of Washington, D.C. We get affected by that wrong thinking. And that wrong thinking that's anti-Israel and anti-Semite and anti-Christian and anti-everything tends to spill over on us. And we either begin to think that way or compromise in our thinking, or we start to feel sorry for ourselves. There is no reason for us to feel sorry for ourselves or to be affected. It's up to us to infect them. It's up to us to spread the truth. We're on the winning side. They're on the losing side if they don't come to God through Christ. Amen. Amen. There it is. Take heed. Be careful, lest he also spare not thee. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God. I like that combination. The goodness and severity of God. Is he a balanced being or what? Come on now. On them which fell, severity but toward thee. Goodness if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shalt be cut off. And so let's not take for granted this wonderful opportunity that God has afforded us as his children, born again believers, coming from a Gentile background. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in. For God is able to graft them in again. There it is. Graft them in again. For if thou wert cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? That's it. That's it. Do not make the mistake of being sucked into the false teaching today that the church is the same as Israel, that we have somehow taken on all of those qualifications, and that all the promises to Israel are the promises to the Gentile believers. That is not true. That is not true. We are not reconstructing the Bible so as to fit our situation. We are properly and rightly dividing the word of truth. Do not make the mistake. We, as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, are not Israel. And Israel is not the church. Separate entities, separate promises. But praise God, we are both included in God's great future plan for this world and for the evangelization of lost souls. Would you bow your head and close your eyes, please? Every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody looking. And how many of you tonight would say, "Preacher, something in this message spoke to my heart and helped me tonight or reminded me tonight"? Slip your hand up. Come on. Something touched me, spoke to me. Amen. Amen. Isn't it wonderful to be part of God's great plan? And right now, with heads bowed and eyes closed and nobody looking, if you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, and don't know for sure that if you died right now that you'd go to heaven, would you pray from your heart to God something like this? Dear God, I admit that I'm a sinner. I deserve to pay for my sins. I believe Jesus died to save me. And right now, I receive the Lord Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior. Come into my heart and take away my sins and take me to heaven when I die. And if you pray to receive Jesus Christ, come and profess Him. If you want to come and pray, I want to pray for Israel. I want to pray for your outreach, for your soul winning, for your circumstances or situation. You may do so.